Wow. What an outpouring of an expression of love tonight and Thanksgiving. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Pastor Tim, are we ready? He's back there. All right, okay. So the recording has started, so that means I can start. You know, for the last few weeks, we've been talking about strategies of revival. And tonight, we're going to move into what's called the anatomy of revival. And to me, that means parts of revival. What does it look like? And I'm going to specifically be looking at the Welsh and the Azusa Street Revival. And this is going to be a little bit different than just talking about the revivals. You know, I'm not going to, because we've probably heard about the revivals. We have knowledge about those revivals. This is more about what occurred during those revivals to make them so significant. Okay? Lord, I just thank you that, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for your word that brings life to us and gives us truth. And Lord, I ask you by the Holy Spirit to just help me convey your words tonight as we learn about the anatomy of revivals. And the, in Jesus' name, amen. The, in your outline, let me find that here. It starts off with the scripture, and I'm going to start there because I just found the two scriptures that Pastor Dave gave for this lesson, they're amazing. Hosea 6, 1 through 3, and then Psalms 50, 5 and 6. And Hosea 6, 1, 3 says, "Come, let us return unto the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and the former rain to the earth." And let's go ahead and read Psalms. "Gather my saints together, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Let the heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is the judge." Selah. So, you know, I read those scriptures, and then I went to a commentary, and I just want to share with you what I got out of the commentary before we get into the lesson. Here, Hosea is begging the people to come back to God, and often, and we see this in scripture over and over and over again, that it's in affliction that a man or a nation will acknowledge a need for God. And a couple examples that I got from the commentary says, Israel, when they were under a taskmaster in Egypt, they cried out to the Lord, right? So when Hosea says, "Come, let us return to the Lord," that's what he's talking about. That people, like out of their affliction, sometimes out of their desperation or circumstances, they come back to the Lord. Another example is when they were in the wilderness and there was scarcity of water and the various defeats that they had. They got to a place where they didn't remember what God had brought them through, you know, to get them to where they were. And sometimes we do that. And what happens is that you get in this place and you forget you forget God and you don't remember. And it's important for us to remember God and everything that he's done for us. This was another example that I thought was really interesting. An individual example, so we can make this apply to us, about Hagar. When she found God was closer to her. When she got out in the desert with her son, they were hungry, they were all alone, and God showed up when she called. How many times has God done that for us? You know? And one of the things that the commentary said in terms of verse 2 of Hosea chapter 6, that it says, after 2 days will he revive us. This particular, I think it was A.R. Rollins was the one I looked at. And it says, he said, it suggests a short time, but it's within God's time frame. So he's always going to show up, but it's in his time frame. And it's a short time, but it may not feel like that to us. And he used the example of Mary and Martha when their brother died, when Lazarus died. You know, and, you know, it says Jesus waited a few days, right, before he went, but he was right on time because he was resurrection life itself, and he brought Lazarus back. So that's our hope, you know. We know that Jesus is going to come, and he's going to come right on time. And as this relates to revival, he comes right on time. Because if we look at our world right now, we would say, Lord, we need it now. We need it right now. We need it yesterday. Things are dark. But God has a plan and a purpose, and he'll come right on time. God's mercy and love comes to meet man's longing. We are not, and this is, I thought this was really good too. We are not like idolaters on Mount Carmel who called out to their gods, who had cut themselves, and they cried and cried, and they didn't get any answer. We call upon the Lord, and he hears us, and he answers. Amen. Isn't that good? That is so good. Okay. Let's see. And Psalms, the commentary that I looked at also said that Psalms 55 and 6 speaks to us about instruction, the coming of the Lord, and judgment. And we know all of that's coming, right? So let's kind of dive into your outline. The Welch and the Azusa Street Revival might be termed the anatomy of revival. And as you look at your outline, Pastor Dave states that in studying great revivals over the years, there are at least 14 discovered essentials from God's word that completely change lives of people taking part in those moves of God. And these are ways that we can identify that revival is here. And you know, it's really interesting. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but I was just curious as I was preparing and looking at the material that he had given me. I looked up the Toronto Blessing, and if you go on, let's see if I can pull it up real quick. If you go on a website there, almost everything that I'm going to talk about tonight, and there are 14, but I'm only going to talk about 7. Everything that happened in the Welch and the Azusa Street Revival showed up at the Toronto Blessing. Every one of them were there. And I may go over some of them, depending on time. Let's see. The Welch Revival began in 1904, and Azusa Outpouring began in 1906. Evan Roberts spearheaded the Welch Revival. He was a coal miner turned preacher. And W.J. Seymour and Frank Bartleman led the Azusa Street move. And Roberts and Bartleman they communicated. And on one website I looked at, they had excerpts of the letters that were sent between these two men. And basically the focus was on praying for them and just providing like moral support and encouragement. And then as a result of Roberts and Bottleman corresponding with each other, the Azusa Street was encouraged by Roberts' letters as well. And what we know about that, and this is history, and you know most of you already know this, but Los Angeles was really stirred by God, and you know, great revival broke out there. But in the same state, in San Francisco, they rejected it. And it says they resisted, and despite prophetic warnings, you know, that there was an earthquake coming, they and that judgment was coming to the city, they wouldn't heed that at all. And so as a result, the outcome was a terrible earthquake in 1906. Okay. Huh? She's saying it had leveled 80% of the city. And actually, I don't know what year it was, but I had a chance to, an opportunity to go to San Francisco. And they have, you know, they have a building with old, what do they call it, memorabilia and things like that, that show what happened to that city, you know? Yeah. So let's move on to, okay, I want to make sure that I'm giving you all the, so the first fill-in, if you didn't get it, is Evan Roberts. And the second one is a terrible earthquake. And we're going to move on to C in your outline. Here are some key points to revival in both the Wales and Los Angeles. And I added Toronto Blessing. We'll be looking, like I said earlier, at seven of these tonight. The remaining we'll do next week. The first is a complete repentance. Hold on, I need to get that. And the scripture reference is Jeremiah 29:13. And if you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. That's God's promise, that if we look for him and seek after him, we're going to find him. And let me just read to you. It says, this repentance is a desire to turn from all worldly allures. So everything that is the world desires, and I really, you know, it's a definition of repentance. It's a turning away from, you know, if you're going one way, you turn around and you go completely opposite way and you don't go back. It says here, in Wales, bars and cinemas closed as people were in prayer everywhere. The prophetic word for revival in both Wales and Azusa, this was a prophetic word. The depth of revival will be determined exactly by the depth of the spirit of repentance. So I remember, you know, as a girl, my dad was in construction and he said, the taller the building, the deeper the foundation. So the stronger the repentance, the greater the revival. Amen. It says here, God would sovereignly call an altar call in those Azusa days. Men would rush to the altar. People would fall as slain in battle as the power of conviction fell on them. Often at Azusa, men literally fell under the word of knowledge by the least in the house of God. You know, I was watching, you know how when you're on, sometimes you're on YouTube or something and you're in one area and it'll jump to something else and you start watching it because it's really, really good. They were having a woman's meeting And they had invited young single mothers, women who had had abortions, and women that were really struggling. And all of a sudden, in this meeting, the woman that was singing, she got out. She asked them to bring her a bucket of water. And she proceeded to wash the pastor's feet. But you know what she did? She got down on her hands and knees. And she talked about the woman who poured out the valuable perfume and how she washed Jesus' feet. And she got down on her hands and knees and she took her hair and she washed the pastor's feet. And as she's doing this, ladies start coming to the front and just laying prostrate on the floor and just crying out to the Lord. I mean, to me, that's an act of true repentance and brokenness and healing and joy, you know? And, you know, I don't know, well, no, I don't want to say that, but I know for me right now in my life, it's hard to kneel for a long time. But there's no better posture than being on your knees or just laying prostrate before the Lord and letting him. And I love what Pastor Tim talked about in Tuesday's message. You know, like he said, it's like we are like a piece of wood or and I think that's amazing that an artist can see a tree and they can see what's in the tree and they can bring it out of the tree. And that's what Jesus does for us, and allow him to chisel anything away that's not supposed to be there so that what he's made us to be comes forth. You know, that's the brokenness. That's the true repentance. Yeah, thank you, Lord. This is really good. It says, R.J. Scott's daughter, a little girl, was baptized in the Spirit. And one day, while a Hebrew scholar came to that meeting to inspect it, little Catherine pointed her finger at him and spoke a torrent of strange tongues to him. He turned pale. He rushed forward, telling everyone she spoke in perfect Hebrew that he was under the judgment of God and advised him to repent of his sins. And the children shall lead them. So true repentance, yeah, isn't that, yeah. Desire to turn away from all worldly allures. And the scripture that Pastor Dave gave for this is Jeremiah 29. I read that. And when I read that, I thought about, because I think that was one of your scriptures yesterday too, wasn't it, Pastor Tim, the Jeremiah, if you seek me, you shall find me. Pastor Tim shared a message yesterday to healing rooms, and the title was The Heart Matters. And he talked about, you know, the heart, and a couple things he said was, the heart is not the spirit or the soul. The heart has a mind of its own. It's that deeper, innermost part of you. And we only you know your deeper, innermost part, right? You know, yeah. And sometimes it's like, ugh, you know? It's like, Lord, help me. And only God can transform that part of us. Andrew Womack, Pastor Tim shared, says that it's the intersection between the soul and the spirit. So God wants us to seek him with all of our heart. I would recommend if you want more information or want to learn about what the heart of the matter is, that you get that CD from Pastor Tim's teaching yesterday. Okay, so number two, the fill in there is baptism in the Holy Spirit. And we're going to look at Acts 2:17. Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. There's one other thing. Let me rewind for just a second, because this is something I think that was really good. I think it's in this part. Okay, we can stay here. One of the things that I think it was A. Rollins said, there was another scripture that I think I didn't read. Or maybe I've jumped ahead. You know the scripture that talks about God sending the latter and the former rain? Did we read it already? Yeah, that's where I wanted to go back to that one for a second. Just bear with me here, because I think this is really good. Okay. Yeah, I think I didn't read that part, did I? In Hosea 6:3, it says, "Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and the former rain to the earth." And so one of the things he said is that he talked about the Holy Spirit, the rain being like the Holy Spirit coming to us. And the rain comes and it waters the flowers and it waters the grass. It nurtures the ground, you know, it prepares the ground for the sowing of the seed. It enriches the earth for the growing of the seed and later for the harvest. And you have to have both of those things in order to have a successful harvest. So one of the things he talked about was the importance of, he likened the church to grass, which is, I mean, I had never thought about that before. And grass is eaten by cows, right? It gives, I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen like a lush green meadow. I mean, you just feel like you want to just go and roll in it because it's so pretty. It brings, the rain brings the flowers, you know, it feeds the cows. And what he said is that each person that is touched by the rain, if the rain is the Holy Spirit, we get exactly what we need, but not the same thing. You know, Holy Spirit comes to each one of us. It's the same source, but you get what you need. You get what you need. I get what I need. That person gets what they need. But it's a beautiful tapestry, you know. And then out of what we receive, remember, if we're like grass, it allows others to come in and feed from us, you know. And we can share what we receive from Holy Spirit with others. And they get what they need. And it just continues to snowball. I don't know. I just thought that was really a good visual, you know? Okay. All right. Okay, so number two, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I think we already read the scripture. So, as men and women were baptized in the Spirit, mighty signs and wonders took place. In Los Angeles, all racial barriers were broken down as black and white set together. In Wales, as people were filled, they became intent on soul winning. And I think, you know, part of what we're going to be doing on Saturday, you know, is ministering. It's an evangelistic outreach. It's feeding, it's ministering, it's praying, it's offering an invitation to Christ, for people to come to Christ. And so when revival comes, the Holy Spirit comes, and he also gives us that desire to draw other men to God, you know, and bring them and share the gospel. So it says here, teams of youth travel throughout Wales to stir churches with their messages. You know, one of the things I think it was a Brownsville, when Brownsville Revival was going on, one of the videos I saw, the children were in a separate area of the church. And I'm not sure if they could hear the message that were preached or they were getting their own message. But at one point, these little kids, I mean, they were elementary school age children and older. They're laying on the floor just crying, you know. Their little hearts are crying for souls. And it was the most precious thing I think I've ever seen. You know, nobody said do this. They, on their own, just got on the floor and just began to weep before the Lord. You know, we're going to see that even here with our children. I think about, you know, when Isabel was here and throwing, you know, in the words that our children received. We need to hold on to those words that those children got. And we need to see them the way God sees them. Because there were three that I heard that were really, really huge, you know, and God's got great in store for them, but we've got to nurture them into that, you know, because it's too big for them to handle right now. If I had gotten a word at that age, I don't know if I could have handled it. So we've got to nurture them. But, you know, I think this generation, maybe, I don't know if it's the one under us or the one under them, you know, they're going to have a hunger for souls. And revival is going to hit the young and the old and everybody. So, all right. The next one is number three. A great emphasis on the blood of Jesus to cleanse every sin. So let's look at Hebrews 9, 12 and 14. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifers sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And in Romans 4, 25. Who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. When revival comes, men get back to basics, right? While there was an agony of conviction, there was also great joy and glory as men literally demonstrated how Christ was slain for our offenses and raised again for our justification. So great conviction comes, but great joy comes also. All right, and number four, the fill in there is love, the love of God. 1 John 3, 14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. So I guess we would all pass that test tonight, right? Didn't you all feel the love when you got your hugs tonight? Yeah, it was awesome. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Wow, that's pretty serious. It says, no hurtful words were spoken to one another. Our words are important. No desire to defend oneself. Hear the words of Bottleman of Azusa Revival. The message was the love of God. It was sort of a first love of the early church returned. The baptism as we received it in the beginning did not allow us to think, speak, or hear evil of any man. We knew the moment we grieved the spirit by an unkind thought or word. How about that? You know, Holy Spirit would quicken it, you know, and they would become grieved immediately. We lived in his wonderful, immediate presence, and nothing contrary to his pure spirit was allowed there. You know, when we get to that place as a church, things are going to happen. Revival is going to hit strong, right? And we've been declaring that here at River of Life, right? Yeah. All right, number five. There was a forgetting, that's a fill-in, of all good works of the past. Philippians 3:13 and 14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. There was a forgetting of all good works of the past. Once again, in the words of Bartleman, God took strong men and women to pieces and put them together again for his glory. You know? Yeah. I don't know if you've ever been, I don't know if you've ever been ripped. The Lord has just kind of broken you down, you know? But then he builds you back up, you know? He says it was tremendous. It was a tremendous overhauling process. Pride and self-assertion, self-importance, self-esteem could not survive there. The religious ego preached its own funeral sermon quickly. Wow. Wow. All right. Number six. The fill-in there is tears of soul humility, confession, and joy. James 5:16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Tears of soul, humility, confession, and joy. One witness of the Welsh revival said of its leader, Evan Roberts, "It was not the eloquence of Evan Roberts that broke men down, but his tears. He would break down crying bitterly for God to bend them in an agony of prayer, and tears coursing down his cheek, his whole frame wreathing. Strong men would break down and cry like children. Women would shriek. A sound of weeping filled the air. Evan Roberts, in the intense of his agony, would fall in the pulpit." You know, that's pretty strong, right? You know, in the presence of God, men can't stand, you know. Pride can't stand. Selfishness can't stand. You know, ego can't stand. And then number seven, the spirit of sacrifice and worship. We read this scripture already, Psalms 55 and 6, but let's look at it again. And here, Roland said, the gathering of the saints together to me, he suggested that this was done by the angelic host. They would be the ones doing the gathering. It says, "Gather my saints together to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice." And verse 6, "Let the heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge." Selah. So there's going to be a great spirit of sacrifice and worship. So I'm just going to read all of these to you. These are the first seven attributes of revival, repentance, baptism in the Holy Spirit, emphasis on the blood of Jesus Christ, the love of God, the forgetting of all good works of the past, tears of soul, humility, confession, and joy, and the spirit of sacrifice and worship. Amen. God bless you.
Beautiful, huh? Want to see some?
Yeah.
John, I like the Lord just reminded me to make a comment here. You know, history has recorded that this great earthquake in San Francisco in 1906 was one of the worst natural disasters on planet Earth. But the Lord just reminded me it was not a natural disaster. Scripture pretty much says it, that they had been warned. Now, Los Angeles, you've embraced me. San Francisco, right up the street, you're resisting me. But now watch this. That earthquake, the Lord just showed me this. The Noah's flood wasn't about the rain. It had never rained. The object, it wasn't about the rain, it was about the flood. Because the purpose was in the flood, not in the rain. But now watch this. Do you know that earthquake lasted 1 minute? It lasted 1 minute, but the earthquake wasn't the plan. It was the fires. It sparked fires that burned for 3 days and incinerated the city. 500 city blocks incinerated. It was all supernatural. It was not a natural disaster. And all this stuff that we're seeing, you know, we heard tonight in the message that during these hard times and when men are challenged, that's when revival comes. My God, in America, are we seeing that right now? This is a God setup. It's a perfect setup for this revival, what we're experiencing right now. And it's coming. We are perfectly poised for the greatest revival that this earth has ever seen.
I was sharing with my mom, Pastor Lorraine, great job. Didn't she do awesome? Yeah, we love Pastor Lorraine. I was sharing with my mom. Who was here when Pastor Festus was here on that Sunday morning? And he preached a powerful message on the agape love of God. And Ronnie, to your point, we are poised right now for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And it's going to come through you. Say, it's going to come through me. Yeah, revival's coming through each one of us, and it's going to come through the power of the Holy Spirit and our compassion that flows out of each one of us. So the love of God, the agape love of God, is going to turn this world upside down, and it's going to come through the church. Amen. You can come on up. Come on up and get in a circle with us. Good job, Pastor Lorraine.